Tonight's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. Now great multitudes accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an embassy and asks terms of peace. So therefore, whoever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." The word of the Lord.
Good evening. Thank you all for being here tonight. So as I have been thinking about reading this scripture and thinking about it and wondering what could it possibly mean, one of the things I was thinking about is kind of that first line, you have to hate your mother and your father and your siblings and, you know, everybody around you and that kind of stuff. And a few weeks ago when Debbie was preaching, she kind of put that into context for us that, you know, at the time of the Roman Empire, everything was about the male head of house and lineage. And so the established norms and rules that kept children and women in place and kept the subjugated down were kind of exemplified by the family norm. And so I don't think that Jesus is really saying you should hate people, because that's kind of not his thing. His thing usually is love, right? So I think that it's kind of like hyperbole, right? He's making a point by going way to the other side. And I think what it means is to hate what is conventional, to hate conventional wisdom, because what's conventional, what's in the world, frequently is not what Jesus was talking about. And so I think that when he says you have to even hate life itself, like what was the life that people were living? What were the things that people were connected to and attached to? And I think that that's what that word means. It's kind of like how the Buddhists teach about non-attachment. I think that that's what really Jesus is talking about. I think he's talking about not being attached to the things of life, not being attached to the trappings of life. In fact, the very last line of the passage tonight, the scripture tonight that Katie read, is give up all your possessions. You know, what are your most cherished possessions? Give those up. And so the reading, the scripture tonight is kind of bracketed by these two ideas, like what I kind of think of as don't follow convention and give up all your possessions if you want to follow me. And I often have a really hard time with the middle parts. And so kind of like this thing about building the tower and being ridiculed and going to war and all that kind of stuff. So I thought, well, what if I thought about that, looked at that in the context of that frame? You know, so don't do what's conventional and give up attachments to the world to even your life or who you define yourself to be in your life. Because I define myself by all kinds of things that aren't really me. So when I look at it, that intending to build a tower and, you know, if you don't have a plan, you can't finish it. And I think what Jesus is saying is, like, don't do this in half measures, right? Like, if you're going to follow me, decide to follow me. And we'll all do it imperfectly because we're human beings. That's what we do. We do it imperfectly. But make the intention and, you know, set yourself in the ground and say, not, well, I think this is something that I kind of want to do, but this is good. This I'm doing. And then go from there. And I think that other piece about, like, if you're going to war and you don't have enough, and then you move towards asking for peace or petitioning for peace. And as I thought about that, I kind of thought, you know, one of my possessions is fighting, like holding the fight, you know, like about just about anything. and so if I were to give up all my possessions, if I were to give up those things that I feel like most define me in order to follow Jesus, then I'm kind of thinking that that's one of them that I have to give up. And so when I think about that middle part of, you know, if you see that this person coming against you is like got twice as much as you or 10 times as much of you, well, what are you going to do? I think what Jesus is saying is the world will always defeat you. Like, we will always be defeated by the ways of the world. And so what do? We have to turn towards peace. Because, you know, it says in the Hebrew scripture, his ways are not our ways. You know, God's ways aren't our ways. And so the ways of the world will always overtake us. And so if I want to follow Jesus, I have to step to peace. So I think that's what he's saying in that middle part there. At least it's what I get from it today. And one of the things I love about House of Mercy is that I feel like we are very dedicated to the scripture. And I feel like we see it as a living thing, not just a bunch of words dead on the page that forever mean one thing. And I love that about coming here because it makes me think and it supports me in my journey and it gives me ways to live today and in today with all today's stuff. You know, Jesus didn't have 24/7 information blasting at him like I do. That's one of the things I need to lay down sometimes. So when I think about it's interesting because when Katie read the scripture, like I had forgot about that part about bearing, you have to bear your cross. And I think I forgot about it or didn't hear it. Even though I've read it over and over and over again, I think I didn't see that part because I grew up Catholic. And it was a regular thing that was said to us, like, you have to bear your cross. And I hated it. I hated it when people said it because usually what they were saying when they said something like that was, shut up and quit complaining. So I didn't like it very much. But when Katie read it tonight in the context, and I really heard because I said a little prayer to listen to the scripture rather than think about what I was going to say. And I really heard it, and what I heard tonight about bearing your cross is taking responsibility for your own crap, which is a very hard thing to do for me. So, when I look around the world, I think that there's many things today that are similar to what was going on when Jesus was alive. There's more people, so there's more horror. But there was horror going on back then. I mean, my God, they killed him, you know, because he kept saying, "No, I refuse. I'm not going to be defined by you." So we see horror all around, and it was alive then too. And one of the things I love about coming to House of Mercy and about being on this path and following Jesus is that because he was a human, he gets what it's like to be in a body that breaks. And sometimes I really need a God that gets what it's like to be in a body that breaks. Because one of the things that happens for me is I start to feel like nobody gets it. Like nobody gets it. And when I remember that, they beat him and they broke him and they put him on the cross and they nailed him to the cross and they did all those things. And then I go, oh yeah, I think my God gets it, what it's like. So when I remember that, like when there's horror all around me in the work that I do, working with people who've been trafficked and who've had horrible abuse at the hands of people who are supposed to love them and other people, you know, I think, well, what does it mean to step to peace? What does that really mean? And sometimes I get, you know, one of my other most cherished possessions besides the fight and besides anger is despair. Like I overshoot radical acceptance and hit despair. Like I don't think that that's the, I don't think that's the point. So if I can ask myself when I'm in those places where I'm like, you know, trying to figure out, well, where is that place of radical acceptance of what the world is like? And then how do I step to peace? How do I come to know that, like, Jesus coming into the world, part of being a Christian, I think, is like that, the belief that Jesus came into the world and something changed. You know, Jesus went out of the world and something changed. Jesus is still in the world, and something has changed. So it's already changed. And so stepping to that or opening to that. So I grew up going to musical theater, and I have siblings that are all in musical theater, and the other day I was listening to Billy Elliot in the car and sobbing. And I texted my sister and I said, I think there's something like wrong with me, or like I didn't get enough sleep because I was in the car listening to Billy Elliot sobbing. And she texted back, I always sob when I listen to Billy Elliot. I said, okay then. I guess, you know, got to get normative, right? Like what's normal? But as I was thinking about that this morning, you might not know the musical Billy Elliot. The music was done by one of the most brilliant musical artists, I think, in the world, Elton John. And there's a song in there. It's called Electricity. And Billy Elliot sings it when he goes to get into the dance school, and the woman, they're not going to even audition him. And the woman says, well, what does it feel like when you're dancing, Billy? And he says, I can't really explain it. I haven't got the words. It's a feeling that you can't control. He says, I suppose it's like forgetting and losing who you are, but at the same time, something makes you whole. And that is one of my absolute most favorite, just saying the words gives me goosebumps. It's one of my absolute most favorite songs. And there's another, and I've seen it four times. And there's another musical wicked that I've seen 5 times. And there's a song in there called Defying Gravity. And Elphaba sings, and nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever going to bring me down. And then, of course, everybody's favorite, who's Let It Go, right? And I think about those 3 songs, and all 3 of those songs give me goosebumps when I hear them. And like just intense. You've probably gathered already, if you don't know me, and this is the first time you've been here, that I'm a little bit of an intense person. But I think about those songs, and when I listen to them, and it just hits me so deeply. It's like, for all 3 of those songs, it's a moment in those stories, in those narratives, where each of those people who have been battered and abused and forgotten and told they were someone else step exactly right into their center. And they stand in what's most sacred and most true, and I believe God-given. And so I believe when I give up those things that I think define me, and I stand in what's most true, that's when I follow God. That's when I follow Jesus. I think I follow him lots of other times in imperfect ways too. But that's when I feel most alive and dedicated. And also sometimes I feel the most sorrow, because I open to the sorrow and the brokenness in the world. But what I know, because of what Jesus did, is that the trauma never ends the story. In some ways, it just begins it. So if I believe, like I think I do, well, I'm pretty sure I do, well, I do, that Jesus has already remade the world through grace and an absolute refusal to be defined by the world or convention or power or empire. Am I willing to give up all my possessions to follow that? You bet.